Good to be together this morning. My name's John. Most of you would know me. I'm one of the site leaders here. We've been in the Bognor site now for just about 4 years since it first started. It's great to be with you all. And this morning, we're carrying on our series on the authentic church. It works. Good. I'm not very good with these things, but I just wanted to have a go. This morning, we're carrying on authentic church. And the title this morning is Living a Life Worthy of the Calling You Have Received. We're going to look at Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. Anyone not got a Bible, would like one, please put your hand up and we'll get one lent to you. Put your hand up if you need a Bible. Yep, put it as lady over here. Yep, good. If you haven't got one at home, please take it home with you as a gift, a reminder of Grace Church. We feel it's so important that everyone has their own Bible. Steve last week talked about the mystery of the church, that hidden truth revealed in Jesus, which is to bring all men and women from every tribe and nation, men and women together, one new man in Christ. That's the mystery of the church, to break down divisions and make us one. This glorious demonstration of what only God can do amongst the nations, amongst the sexes, amongst the people. Only God can do it. And that's that mystery of the church revealed in Jesus. To be a demonstration to the world, but not just to the world, but to the principalities of the powers and powers of the heavenly places. To be a demonstration to the demonic forces that would seek to destroy the church and keep people in bondage and darkness. Jesus sets us free. Hallelujah. And you and I are called, God bless you. And you and I are called to be demonstrations of it. That's that mystery of the church. What a wonderful thing. You know, all the laws, rules, things of society, all the great powers of the empires cannot do what Jesus can do. Bring you and me together as one across the nations. You know, make us one new man in Christ. That's this mystery that we have been called to. And this week, it's how you and I, as the church, the people of God, live as a united people, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, filled by the Holy Spirit, now rooted and established in the love of God. How does it work? What does it look like? That's what we're going to look at this morning as we read Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, let's not forget, as Steve reminded us last week, Paul's writing this from prison. He's a prisoner for his faith. He's not sitting comfortably in an armchair or a nice little study back somewhere. He's a prisoner in chains. And as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does his work. That's our reading this morning. Brilliant. And I want to start with an introduction. Oh, that's the reading. An introduction. You know, our trip to India just before Christmas, 6 weeks in India, was a trip of a lifetime. It was also a lifetime's encouragement too. It was amazing to meet up with so many friends, amazing to meet up with so many new friends, see so different, many different things, such a variety in what we did. But probably the most exciting, the most encouraging, and the most rewarding thing we did was meeting up with people, some we hadn't seen for over 20 years, some we had known for 20 years. Any of them, most of them, we hadn't seen for 8 years, as we hadn't been to India for 8 years. Some were completely new friends that we made. But meeting up with them was such an encouragement. What encouraged us most was to see people who 20-odd years ago would have been late teens and early 20s, young scallywags like some of you. Now mature, serving men and women, leading a great work there in India. People who were just young people, new to the faith, now solid in their faith and doing great things for God. To hear stories of broken, shattered lives, lives that had been horribly messed up as they grew up as kids in difficult circumstances, prison, orphans. One guy, born in the red light area, mum and dad just leaving him there with others, and you know, what a background. Now strong in God, mature, leading a church. I tell you, it does your soul good. It was like a tonic. Better than everything else we saw, like the Taj Mahal and the backwaters of Kerala, beautiful as they were. But the people growing up in God were a great tonic to us. To see men and women growing, maturing, stable, firm in their faith in a country where it's hard to be a Christian. You know, there are some advantages of being old. A few of them anyway. I don't pay for my television license anymore. Woohoo! But also, you can look back over the years. Look back over the years and see what God has done. And the trip to India enabled us to look back and see what God has done. Now, this is about our passage this morning. This is our passage about a church growing up into maturity. This is why we were so excited in India, to see people growing up into maturity. And this is what Paul is talking about this morning, growing up together. However much we want converts, God doesn't want just converts. God doesn't want us to be like babies. We love babies. Look at them. They're lovely. But God doesn't want us to stay spoon-fed, being carried around like a load of spiritual babies. God wants us to grow up and be mature. Yeah, he wants converts. God wants converts. He wants converts that are going to grow up. And God wants you and me not to stay like these little tiny babies, being carried around with all our issues and problems. He wants us to grow up, to mature, to work together, to be strong, to be stable, to be unshakable, to be go-getting, to be world-changing. Is that enough? I can add a few more if you like, because that's what the scripture says. And then God wants us to demonstrate that to those around us. And he wants us to make a difference in the world that we live in. So that's what it's about this morning. Our first point is verse 1. Paul says, come on now, folks. I want you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. Now, this morning in our worship time, we were singing about the blessings we have in God. Paul says, we have got such a great calling. God has done so much for us. We could spend the whole of the morning now, forgetting the rest of the sermon, just talking about what God's done for us. Saved us out of darkness, brought us into light. Once I was nobody, now I'm the people of God. Once I didn't know mercy, now I know mercy. Once I was going to hell, but now I'm going to heaven. Once my life was in pieces, God has brought it together. Once I didn't like people, now I love people. And all those sort of things. I know somebody who was a foreign hater. He was so prejudiced. He hated anyone that wasn't English. Now he's running a church. He loves any nation. God has changed his life. And that's what God does. Think what God has done for us. God has made us his special people, called us out of darkness. Remember the series we did on Mark's Gospel last year? What's the first thing God's caused us to be? Before that, followers of Jesus and fishers of men. That's the great calling that we have in our lives. And then he says, now demonstrate it to a watching world. Now live a life worthy of this call. That's the calling. This is the series that we're talking about with authentic Christianity. Now be a genuine, real Christian. Don't cheapen the grace of God that we praise God about on a Sunday by the lives we live. Don't just be a Sunday Christian in front of each other. Hello, nice to see you. Hello. And we're all so good and perfect today, aren't we? Best clothes and everything, you know, all looking nice. What do we like on Monday morning? What do we like to work with? What do we like to live with? What do we like as neighbors? Paul says, come on, live a life worthy. And I was preparing this. I was sitting alone in the front room. Molly was asleep. It was early in the morning. And I was thinking, even now what I'm doing on my own with no one seeing except God is important, isn't it? That's living a life worthy of the calling. Even when no one can see it. Come on, Paul says, show the world, those rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, the demonic powers of darkness that battle against the truth, what God can do in a life that's given over to Jesus. Live a life worthy. You know, I was reminding of when I did my nursing training, 1960s. We had a ward orderly on a ward. I think it was either a men's surgical or it was a broken legs and bones ward. I forget what it was. When, you know, we used to have about 20-odd beds all in rows, you know, in the good old days when nursing was nursing. We had this ward orderly called Vi. Now, Vi was an East Ender. I did it in the East End of London, my training was. And she kept that ward on like a tight ship. It was clean. It was fun. But it was a good job done. And Vi was really good. And I used to have a lot of fun with Vi. I was just a trainee nurse at the time. But Vi and I became good friends and great sparring partners. One Christmas, we had a Christmas carol service. The Nurses Christian Fellowship took it up in the chapel. And Vi came. And I was going to preach. I was going to be a missionary one day, so I was practicing, you know. And I was going to preach. And I preached my heart out. And afterwards, she said to me, John, she said, I didn't know you were religious. And I thought, bash, bash. Was that a compliment or was it an insult? Was it a compliment or was it a challenge? The side of me, I was really glad that she saw I wasn't religious. I didn't want to be religious. I find that hard to be religious. I keep trying, but it doesn't work. But sometimes. I'm glad she didn't say I was religious. But she didn't know I was a Christian. And I felt quite challenged by it. And I felt quite rebuked. And it stuck with me. I didn't know you was religious. How do you come over this week at work? Are we living lives worthy of the calling that God has called us to? Of all that it cost Jesus to bring us into the family of God. We don't want to be religious. So please spare us. But we do want to come over different, don't we? Okay, that's the one, first one. So then Paul says, right now, in verses 2 to 3, make every effort. Paul immediately jumps into something that can spoil our lives, the church, the way things are going. That's the whole thing of unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Over the years, and those of you who have lived a bit longer than 10, 20 years or so, you will see how many lives and churches have been ruined by disunity and breaking the bond of peace in each church. Paul says, come on, folks, make every effort to avoid it and work on it and keep it. We have a great calling. We have a great faith. We have a great mission that God has put us on. Now Paul says, guard it, protect it, and keep it. Make every effort. The psalmist talks about the special blessing that there is when brothers dwell together in unity. Many places in Scripture talk about how we need to be united and work at that. Paul now adds, over to you, folks. Over to you, folks. Make every effort. Molly and I very, very rarely have disagreements. In fact, we never row. Do you notice my nose grow? But when we may possibly disagree on something, we may possibly have a different view on something, we look at each other and go, is it worth it? She's all I've got, and I've all she's got. We need each other. Falling apart is not worth it, is it? What it would do to our marriage and our relationship, our kids and everything else. And in the same way, I believe God would say to us, is it worth it with that great calling that God has put upon our lives? And then Paul gives us some lovely helps here. Be completely humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And then there's a little reading in Colossians 3, which carries this a bit further that I want to read. Another letter written by Paul to the Colossian church. Therefore, as God's chosen people, reminding of the calling that we have, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, remind ourselves how much God loves us, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bear with one another, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. As Christians, we've been forgiven by Jesus. As he's forgiven us, we're to be forgiving others. And bear with one another. Over these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love. That's the 1 Corinthians 13 love. It's often read at weddings, but we need to read it often in our own lives too. This is not just an option. If you feel like it, come on, John, love Pete. If you feel like it, Danny, I've got a love. No. This is love one another. Be gracious to one another. Bear one another. Even Thomas, when he treads on my toes and annoys me. But he never does. Would he ever do that? But bear one another. All the funny things we do. And let's be honest, we do, don't we? We do. Come on, be honest. Nod your heads. Come on, be honest. We do sometimes wind each other up and annoy each other. That's family. I do my brothers and sisters. And you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on, be honest. I know I annoy some of you. I know I annoy you, Johnny. He just looks at me and smiles. This sweet old man that's going to fall off the edge of the planet one day. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It says, bear with one another. Guard it. Make every effort. And of course, we have this greatest example with Jesus in Philippians 2. Your attitude should be the same as Jesus. Now, these are strong, but these are not options. This is what the family of God need to do to be that demonstration to a world out there. So Paul says, come on, folks, we've got such a great calling. Demonstrate it to a watching world around us. Let's keep together. Let's keep united. Don't give the devil a foothold. It's not worth it. It's part of our calling. Make every effort. And then Paul goes on in the next few verses 4-6, to give us a wonderful example of why we should do this. And that's about there is only one. He goes through this list. It's amazing. We are only one. We're one body. We serve one God and we have one faith. So Paul says, come on, don't break it up. Don't destroy it. And he goes through this list. We've got one God who's the Father of all, who is over all, one family. Well, you and I have one heavenly Father. We only got one family and one Father. That's God. There's one Lord, our Lord Jesus, who died for us and rose for us. He's our Saviour. He's the head over the body, the church. We've got one Spirit, one Holy Spirit who works in us, who worked in us to bring us to salvation and now works in us to equip us and to empower us in our Christian lives. We've only got one body, the church. Us as individual parts of that one body are now connected and dependent on each other. And like you will know, if one part of your body doesn't work, you know, my mother-in-law had very bad feet and she had to have a couple of toes cut off. It was really horrible. And I tell you, it really crippled her and made walking difficult. That was just a little toe. You know, and you know what it's like when something in your body is not working properly. And we are called to be part of one body, caring and helping each other. And I was thinking of that, you know, I sometimes get a pain in the neck. And when I get a pain, yeah, you laugh, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? I sometimes get a pain in the neck. And when I get a pain in the neck, it gives me a headache, or it makes me shoulders. I thought, you know, we could be a pain in the neck in the church, couldn't we? You know, I was going to say, don't be a pain in the neck. Work at it. There is only one body. Let's make every effort. We've only got one hope, salvation in Jesus. There is no other way. There's only one Jesus, one Saviour, one salvation, one way. And Jesus is now preparing a home for us and will one day come back and take us to be with him. There's only one faith. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No one comes to the Father but by me. Well, and I've been fortunate over the years to be able to work in different countries and visit different countries, other countries. We've seen different faiths. We've studied different faiths. We've seen different groups. I can tell you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's all we've got. Let's fight for it. Let's lose it. And then, of course, there is one baptism. We entered the kingdom of God the same way by repentance and faith in Jesus demonstrated by our baptism. So we've all come in the same way. We all worship the same way. We all worship the same God. We all share the same hope for eternity. United we stand, Paul reminds us. So then let's fracture what we have with our dissensions and divisions, our petty disagreements, our pride, impatience, not bearing with one another in love, by our lack of love. And I was reminded of a phrase we used to use a lot in the old days. Don't be a jelly Christian who gets upset over a little trifle. Groan, isn't it? You may laugh, but how we can get upset over a little trifle? You know, there's been church rows over what colour carpets or the flowers or the curtains or this or that. And I tell you, come on, we're called to something so much bigger as the family of God. Play your part. And then Paul goes on to talk about the apostolic gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, prophets and teachers and so on and so on. Paul tells us how this one body working together in love and unity, being a demonstration to a watching world, living a life worthy of the calling, can be helped to function by the grace gifts that God has given us as a church. And he particularly mentions these five leadership, governmental gifts. But we need to remind ourselves as we look in other places in Scripture that God gives grace to us all to serve the body of Christ. And I don't want to go beyond just those five gifts. But God in his grace has given us gifts to bless the body. We're all different. We've all got different parts to play, different roles. But Jesus has given us special gifts to build up the body. You and I, we have different parts to play. We can't all be those upfront leaders. We haven't got those special graces. But you and I do have gifts that God has given us in which to serve him and to bless the body. In singling out these five gifts, Paul outlines their purpose: to prepare God's people for works of service, so we all play our part. To build up the body of Christ, to make it strong and united. To help us reach unity in faith and knowledge, helping us to believe and follow the right things. To help us to be mature, grow up, not like the babies after being pushed around and dragged around all the time. To attain all that Jesus has for us. You know, when I was baptized, in the 60s, we always gave somebody who was baptized a verse on a card. It was like a little text card. And mine was Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Not that I have attained all this, but I press on to take hold of all that Jesus has taken hold of me for. That sticks with me. I want to attain all that Jesus has for me. When I became a Christian, Jesus took hold of me for a purpose. Jesus took hold of me for something that I was going to do for him, for a part to play in his body. And now I want to press on to take hold myself of all that Jesus has first taken hold of me for. And that's what these gifts are for, to build us up to do that. So you and I are not going to be always like in the primary class, in the baby's class, needing being spoon-fed, nappy changed and all this sort of stuff. We're going to be growing up. We're going to be doing it ourselves and teaching others to do it ourselves. And I'll carry on with another thing in a minute. Supporting and caring for each other. For a proper function of the body, each part has to function and do its bit well. And God has put us together for that. And I want to ask you a quick question. What has God gifted you to do? What has God gifted you to do? And it may not be out in the front. It may be you feel you're more of a backseat person in the shadows. You're a bit shy, you're a bit quiet. Doesn't matter. It's all equally important in the building up of Grace Church and the body of Christ. Let's be careful we don't put things like these different positions in league tables. Oh, one is better than another. Rubbish. We're all needed together. Let's be careful we don't look at them as my achievements. Remember, Christ apportioned the gifts. And he can change things. Put yourself on a pedestal, you've got danger of falling off. It's a precarious place to be. So let's not look down. Let's not sort of rub our medals and all this sort of stuff. And let's be careful to remember that each part of the body is special, precious, important, vital, and is a privilege to serve Jesus. And I want to say thank you to some of you who are not in the front, but you're doing things behind the scenes. Someone's going to pour my tea out in a minute, if I remember to go out and get one. Get a biscuit if the kids haven't eaten them all first. You know, someone who helped us park the cars and welcomed us. Hello, nice to see you in the pouring of rain. You know, that's equally as important as me standing up here in my best pullover saying, hello, I'm going to look at the word of God this morning. We're all playing our part in the family of God. All playing our part in the family of God. So don't forget the purpose of it all is to prepare, build up, reach unity, reach maturity, and attain all that Jesus has for us. Let me encourage you to play your part. Number five, don't get blown around. Don't get blown around. That's verse 14. The devil hates our good intentions. He hates it when he hears words like unity, love, bearing with one another, maturing in Jesus, growing up in God. And I can assure you the devil will do all he can to spoil it and stop it. He'll use, as Paul puts here, every wind of teaching to divert us, cunning and craftiness, deceitful scheming. He'll try to toss us back and forth like flotsam on the sea. Sometimes when you're walking on the seafront, you see junk floating in the sea being tossed about by the waves and the wind. He'll blow us here and there like hurricanes do, like the hurricanes we had just recently. It blew my greenhouse down while I was in India. Thank you, Mr. Hurricane, you know. And that's what happens in our lives at times. The latest idea, the next theory. Oh, the new paper book, the paperback. Oh, there's a new fashion these days. Things can so easily be picked up from social media and the TV, and they can just sweep us up, toss us around, and send us off on sidetracks, and weaken what we're supposed to be doing in the Church of Jesus. And we need to be like the oak tree. You know, I was reading just this week, an oak tree's roots go deeper into the ground than the highest of its branches. An oak tree's branches spread out, its roots spread out two or three times wider than the radius of its bases. That's how big an oak tree is in the ground. And that's why it's called the mighty oak. And that's what we need with each other, with all these grace gifts to stop us from being blown around and shaking and wobbling and going off on sidetracks. And what are these things? We need the church family to work together in love and unity. We need each other. We need church leadership, our elders, our leaders there God has gifted to lead us and move us on. We need the wider church family, the commission group, the apostolic leaders we have. Next Saturday, an opportunity to be strengthened and to be built up. West Point, who's not yet booked into West Point? Growl. Come on, what a wonderful opportunity to grow up in Jesus and become more mature. Accountability, discipleship, mentoring. We need each other to help us to speak into our lives. Then, of course, we need the Bible to keep us on track with the truth of God's word. Not to cut ourselves off. You know, one of the things I get really bothered about is when people sometimes say to me, I'm having a week off this week. I'm having a rest week. And I think, oh, no. Isn't it a good job that God doesn't have a rest week? You know, I'm just going to lie low for a bit. Huh? Good job that God doesn't lie low for a bit. Come on. These things God's given us to build us up like that mighty oak, to keep our eyes on the bigger picture and what it's really all about and the great challenge we have as the family of God. And then Paul says, lastly, grow up. He says it nicely, of course. Grow up. Paul lists the goals that we need to have in mind as this authentic, genuine church, as a mature group of Christians on a journey, an adventure with Jesus, heading for eternity together with him. He talks about speaking the truth in love and all things growing up under him, the head, Jesus. The whole body joined together, held together, every supporting ligament building itself up, each part does its work. This is the authentic church. Mature, genuine, and real. It's like the body of a young child growing up. You know, I see my grandchildren now. They were little babies. Yeah, just like the little one over there. You know, and, you know, we had to drag them around and teach them to do this, tell them not to do that. Now, young men and women of God growing, writing us letters, asking how we are, doing things for us. It's wonderful to see little kids growing up into mature young men and women of God. And that's what God wants us to do as Christians, from immature young baby Christians to now grow up and become mature men and women of God. When we had the eldership praying, you know, we prayed from a few weeks ago. I called it the elderizing. I never quite know the word you use over at Chichester. You know, that picture has stuck with me through all my preparation. There was a point when the five elders stood shoulder to shoulder, arms around each other, maybe arms interlocked. I'm not quite sure. Do you remember that picture? You all stood there. And I thought, that is a picture of what we need to be as a church. Not just the elders, but you and me too. Not just the older Christians, but you and me too, younger ones. Everybody. I'm putting myself in the younger ones, and I know Simon picked it up. Yeah, of course I am. You know, shoulder to shoulder, arms joined. And that's how the Roman armies went forward, wasn't it? In little tight bunches with their shields over and their arms, you know, all linking in. There was tightness and security in it. When we were kids, we used to go to Canvey Island for our holidays. And We lived in a, we used to stay in a funny little house, no toilet, it was a bucket, and then we used to have to put it in a pit at the end of the garden. There was no electricity, we had gas lights, it was in the 60s, 70s, 60s, whatever it was, anyway. And and we were excited to be on Canvey Island on holiday, and there's five of us, five kids, mum and dad, and we used to often walk from this little bungalow to the seafront in the evening to go and get some chips, play bingo, and just enjoy the seafront. And we used to link arms. And we used, and I've been thinking of this a lot over these days. We linked arms, the lot of us, as we walked down the roads. No cars, it was just like countryside, really. And we used to link arms going, da 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 da. We were united. I'm not saying we should do this here. We were united. We were linked arms. We were in step. You had to do it in a certain way, and you had to keep changing direction like this, and you know. And we were happy. We were united. Of course, it was a holiday spirit. But I tell you, we were family. That's what God wants us to be, doesn't he? And I just want to close with those last things, these last words. God wants us to be joined together, held together, supporting each other, growing and building each other up and loving each other. He wants us to make an impact, not be a spoon-fed, being carried around, tossed around by the world group of people, but mature people who are going to make every effort. We're going to be the body of Christ. We're going to make an impact. We're going to change the world, and arm in arm, whether we literally do it or not, in spirit, or I don't mind if you want to do it physically as well. I like touch. That's my love language. I like being arm in arm with people. And together we're going to march forward, press on, united in Jesus, being a force to be reckoned with. Let's stand. I want to recommend this book by Phil Moore, Galatians to Colossians. They cover Ephesians, of course, but it covers a lot of good things. And I don't want to make an appeal this morning in a sense of, if you want me to pray with you about certain things. I'm sure God's put his finger on all sorts of things. He has on me, as even as I'm talking to those things, I know that I've got to put right. But one thing that Phil often talks about is being an inside-out Christian. An inside-out Christian. It is God on the inside, inside-out Christian. I want to read you a couple of quotes from Phil Moore's book. Paul isn't interested in trying to change people from the outside in by making them conform to a rule book of Christian behavior. He places all his confidence in God's promise that he will fill his people with the Holy Spirit and change them from the inside out. He simply prays for the Spirit to give the Colossian church supernatural wisdom and understanding to live in the good of who they are in Jesus. God invites you to let him live inside you through his Holy Spirit and empower you to follow him from the inside out. You know, we could pray with each other over all sorts of things. God help us to do this. God help us to do that. Or we can pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill me in a fresh way. Come and turn my life inside out. And from the inside out, help me to be who I'm supposed to be in Jesus. God has been giving me a real hunger for the Holy Spirit days. You know, when we go into church and come out changed. I often come out hungry, do you? We want God to change our hearts. Now that early church was filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And they poured out on the streets, changed men and women, with God on the inside, and God on the inside then changed their world and changed their lives. Let's pray. We're going to have the music group are going to be playing something, but you know, we will sing a song at some point, no doubt. But I want us to raise our voices and raise our arms. We had this word about plowing up the unplowed ground, you know, digging it up this morning, about the red light, which Peter kindly shared too. Come on, there are things in our... Let's open the doors of our hearts and open the doors of our lives and say, God, I want to be all those things that I'm supposed to be, this authentic church. But I can only be it when the Holy Spirit is inside, coming out, changing me from the inside.